Welcome to the Donna Sebo Show. Donna is an international mental practitioner, award-winning author, counselor, speaker, teacher, and radio TV personality. Dedicated to empowering others through her mental skills, she also features authors and experts from all over the world to share their knowledge and experience with you, the listening audience. Now, let's join Donna and her guests. Here's Donna.
Hello and welcome to an hour of Mind Power. This is Donna Sebo. Today we have a rather unique subject. It is a movie star. It's about a movie star who I had the privilege of seeing, and I just think back to the elegance and the phenomenal talent that she brought to the screen as well as to the television environment, as well as doing recordings and other things. You may or may not be aware of her. Her name is Loretta Young. Now, Joan Anderson is the author of this book, and she is the person that I found out about this book through. And Joan has been a guest on my show more than once. She's written books on angels and a number of other things. But this particular story, if you want to read about a real human being that lived in a world of glamour and glitter and the phenomenal fantasy of the golden age of Hollywood, this book will absolutely mesmerize you on multiple levels. It is a phenomenal, phenomenal publication, but we don't have Joan with us today. Instead, we have Christopher Lewis, who's with the Entertainment Group, and his wife, Linda Lewis. They know Loretta well. What is your relationship, Christopher? Welcome to the show. What is your relationship to Loretta?
First of all, what a great introduction, and it's true. I'm Loretta Young's son, and she can't be with us, of course, because she passed away in August of 2000. So I'm here to tell you that everything Joan Anderson wrote in that book about her is true, and Joan really captured Mom tremendously well in the book, yeah.
Just phenomenal. Now, what I loved about this is not only what she was able to bring out about your mom, and we're going to be able to talk about this, but how Joan and your mother, this icon of Hollywood, I mean, she's absolutely gorgeous. And you look at any of her photographs, she has this aura that is just, you know, emanating from her eyes. She was just absolutely gorgeous.
Over the years, Don, you're absolutely right. Over the years, she was voted the best-dressed woman in Hollywood, one of the most glamorous movie stars in the business.
Mm-hmm.
And even to the day she died, she was always elegant and fun to be around, and just a really good example of to follow. You know, I'm prejudiced because we're talking about my mother, but she was a unique person.
She really was, especially in that environment. Well,
exactly.
We all know that if we pay, you know, have 50 cents worth of common sense, we realize that there is this fantasy, there's this illusion, and in today's world, I mean, you just look at the rag sheets that are at the tabloid stands, and you go, oh, ho, hum, here we go, somebody else has gone down the toilet or blown their brains out with narcotics or something else, and it's a much different world that your mother lived in.
It was a much different world, and it was controlled, you know, by the business was new when she got started.
Mm-hmm.
She got started actually at the age of 4 years old when she was a movie extra. Her uncle was an assistant director in the movies, and at 4 years old, she got a job as a movie extra and worked in the business. At 12 years old, she was a movie star, or actually got her first starring role opposite Lon Chaney. That was in the 1920s, so she was in silent era during her first starring role in 1927 in a film called Laugh Clown Laugh, which you can see on YouTube if you want to go to YouTube and punch in Laugh Clown Laugh. There are clips of my mother when she was like 12, 13 years old in that movie.
Mm-hmm. It's amazing.
Still exists today. You can see how beautiful she was back then.
Well, actually, Loretta, her sisters were gorgeous too. I mean,
yeah, she and her
right.
Yeah, she and her sisters.
Gorgeous.
Yeah, they were all in the movies together, actually.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, my mother's older sister was acting in major roles before Mom was. And one day somebody called her to go to a casting session to be in a movie, my aunt. And my aunt wasn't at the house at the time. The girls were all in their teens at that time. And so Mom said, well, I can act. And the producer, who is Mervyn LeRoy, a very famous Hollywood director, said, well, are you sure you can act? Sure, well, come over. And so he gave my mother her sister's part in the movie, and that kind of launched her as an actress as well.
Your family has a fascinating background because Grandma Gladys was quite a woman. And when you go into the time frames that Gladys came up through, and I just love the representation as Joan showed it. Joan told the truth, and your mother gave her permission to tell the truth. And if I recall, when she saw something that Joan had done, she had turned to Linda and said, I want Joan Anderson to write my story.
Yeah. Some people had attempted, when Mom was getting on in age in her late 80s, she died at 87, but I think she was 84 or 85. Some people had attempted biographies of her or whatever, mm-hmm. and they didn't work out. Mom didn't like what they did. We had met Joan Anderson, my wife and I had, because we produced documentary films, and we interviewed Joan for one of our films on miracles and angels, and we went to her home near Chicago, and we interviewed her, and she is a wonderful person, and she's a very talented writer, and we enjoyed the time with her and her family that we spent there. But about a year later, we were thinking, you know, who would be a good person to help Mom write her autobiography? And Linda, my wife, came up with the idea, Joan Anderson. She's a Catholic, and my mother was a Catholic, and she knows about angels and spirituality and all that. I bet they'd get along. So we introduced the two of them, and Joan came out to Palm Springs, where I am right now, came out here to Palm Springs to meet Mom, and they really hit it off. And so Joan would visit for a couple of days and then go back home and write some chapters and send the chapters to Mom, and Mom would make her little notes on them. You know, my mother was a very big control freak, so she wanted to make sure that, you know, she got her impetus in it. So she guided Joan, and unfortunately, Mom passed away before Joan actually finished the book. But she had given Joan enough information and given her enough contacts and people to talk to that Joan did a wonderful, absolutely wonderful job with a book, which, by the way, is called Forever Young. We forgot to mention the title.
Yes, Forever Young. And this is Life,
Young.
Love,
yeah.
And Enduring Faith of a Hollywood Legend, which she very much is. And I loved the fact that Loretta's real name was Gretchen.
Gretchen, right, uh-huh, yeah.
And she would be called Gretch for short. And
right.
Her mother, Gladys, you know, I want to go back to your grandmother a little bit, because...
Yeah, she was a wonderful person, Donna.
Yeah.
She really was the bedrock of the whole family and
mm-hmm.
really responsible for Mom, you know, getting the support and being an actress.
Now, Mom, Loretta's mom, your grandmother,
uh-huh.
did something. She was married to a guy named Earl. Loved him
dearly.
Yeah,
Earl Young.
Mm-hmm.
Earl Young.
Earl Young, and he ended up being unfaithful, and she reached a point where she said, enough is enough, never want to see you again, just leave me and the family. And she was a woman of indomitable spirit.
She really was, and she was very ahead of her time for her era, as was my mother.
Mm-hmm.
But Grandma went on. When grandfather and my grandmother split, they were my grandfather was an accountant for the railroad, and they lived in Salt Lake City at the time. And when they split, Grandma had the three daughters and a son, Jack. You know, so she
mm-hmm.
had four children that she had to support. And there were no really viable means of support in Salt Lake City because my grandfather was stationed at different places along the line of the railroad, you know, as was needed, so they didn't really have any family there. But my grandmother had a her sister's husband was, they lived in Los Angeles, and her sister's husband was a director, assistant director in the movies. So grandmother brought all the children to Hollywood, and now this is back in the late teens and early 1920s, brought them to Hollywood, and in order to support herself, she went to the Archbishop of the Catholic Church in Los Angeles, and she borrowed some money to start to buy a building and start a boarding house. And so she and her daughters ran a boarding house, and actors lived there, and they, you know, and mm-hmm. so forth. And it was a means of support. And she was very ahead of her time. And then as she got older, she became a very well-known interior decorator in Hollywood. And she decorated all famous people. My grandmother did famous people's homes, from Bob Hope to Frank Sinatra to every actor, you know, around. She was very well known and you know, went, got into real estate and bought homes and apartment buildings and furnished them and rented them out. So she was very self-sufficient and always made money up until she was decorating up until the age of 94. She decorated a bank up in upstate California, up in Bakersfield at mm-hmm. age 94. So she was, you're right, Donna, she was a unique person.
So here we have Loretta, her sisters, her brother. They're raised in this eclectic environment, a very resourceful mother, but a mother who really had some pretty strong standards. And I love the story about Loretta, who at the time she, you know, did some of this stuff. She was named Gretchen, but she got into trouble for shoplifting. She and a friend were doing this. She also got into trouble for some other things, but her mother handled this very interestingly. She made her accountable for everything.
Yes.
And that instilled some things in your mother that were just very, very profound, but she was always supportive of
yeah,
the girl
very,
being independent.
Yeah, right. And mom was of her children. And the whole idea was grandma would never spank anybody.
Mm-hmm.
But if you did something that she didn't approve of, you got what would be called, I guess, the silent treatment. Or you knew you did wrong and you wanted to make amends for it. So
mm-hmm.
she was very, she was, I wouldn't say she was a disciplinarian, but people knew where she stood and you just didn't, you know, you didn't want to disappoint them.
Well, she said something that Joan has here in her book. She told Loretta when she was 12 or 13 years of age, because she was going through some challenges, she said, Loretta, if you give up on something when you're 12 or 13, it's going to be easier to walk away from more important things when you're 20 or 30. Now, you think of that wisdom, and Loretta seemed to have, your mother seemed to have that depth of perception, even at a young age, that this was something that was going to prove to be valuable to her later on. And boy, it really did. She went through a lot of things in her life.
Yeah, and it was the core of her, my mother's personality. I mean, in other words, to be successful in the motion picture business at that time that was basically run by men, and you did what you were told, and but to do a career without compromising herself, to extend that career into movies and then into television later,
mm-hmm.
and to sustain it for literally 70 years. I mean, my mother first went on camera when she was 4, and her last performance was in 91.
Mm-hmm.
When she was, do the math, I guess she was like 76 or something like that. So that's a long career for anybody. And to maintain the level of professionalism that she did and her status in the industry, she won an Academy Award in 1947. She won 3 Emmys for her television series, The Loretta Young Show, which started in the 50s. So she had to be very strong in her own right to, you know, make it financially and to make it, you know, in the business, to be successful in the business, because you had a lot you were fighting against, you know, parts you didn't want to take
mm-hmm.
and actors you didn't necessarily want to work with. But her secret was she knew that she said something early on that I hope you picked up in the book. She, very early on, she observed sets, you know, movie sets, and she
mm-hmm.
said, I don't want to really be an actress. I want to be a star. And she knew the difference between an actress and a star. And so she was very careful about the parts she took. And she even was very careful about when she took a part to make sure that she stood out among all the other actors in the movie.
Yes, yeah, she would move a certain way. Or she was savvy enough that the young man, and I'm trying to remember his name right at the moment, was it Matt that she knew when she was quite young? And he said he wanted to be a priest when he grew up, and she said, I'm going to be a star.
Yeah, right, right.
And he did become a priest, and she did become the star.
Yeah, really? Yeah. Well, it shows you dreams do come true, you know.
Yes.
But it wasn't by happenstance, you know. They say, oh, it's a lucky thing that somebody becomes a star. No, it took her a lot of work, and she sacrificed a lot. You know, one of the things she said to me shortly before she died was that, I'm sorry I wasn't a better mother to you. You know, and I looked at her and I said, why? You were a wonderful mother. You provided us with more than any other family could ever want. Plus, you're famous, and through you, we've met everybody in the world that could be important or whatever. She said, no, I mean for me. Not for you, for me. I'm sorry I never, you know, changed your diapers and fed you and all that, because we had nurses.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, so she regretted that she had to give that up to be a star. But believe me, it was worth it with the legacy she's left and the good deeds she did. You know?
Well, I don't know. She might have said that, and I'm going to take a positioning on it. I think she may have felt she might have missed something, but I think down deep she knew she really didn't, because if that had really been the priority, somehow or another that would have happened. But she truly was so dedicated to her work, and she was so dedicated to the family, and she was really playing out a role of strength and example that nobody
she
else could have done
it. Yeah, she was very serious about that, you know. Now, she had, you know, being a Catholic, she was married three times, actually, but divorced once, you know, and Catholics aren't supposed to be divorced, supposedly.
Mm-hmm.
But, so she realized and recognized that she had made mistakes and would, like everyone, was not perfect, you know what I mean?
Right.
But she asked forgiveness and went on. But she was just very sure of herself, loved people, was very wonderful to people, and had a good grasp of life, you know.
One of my favorite stories about her in the book that Joan captured was when she had a visit with Father Ward. He was coming over he'd come over to the house quite frequently when she was growing up. And she had been invited to this very, very big event, and she said, I don't want to go to this. She said, it's so boring. And
yeah,
I loved his response. He said, and he looked her straight in the eye, he said, did it ever occur to you that whenever you're bored, it may be because you're boring?
Yeah,
I loved that. I just loved it. And she looked at him. It's just a wonderful story.
Yeah, it's an expression she said often, you know, because kids say that. And I remember one time my niece was visiting. She was about 12 at the time, you know, and she came in the house and she said, I'm bored. And Mom said to her, Laura, when you're bored, you're boring. And she would say that a lot of times. And I know why she felt that, because, you know, when you're in showbiz and you have to do all these personal appearances to advance your career or do interviews or anything, you know, it can get to be a strain, you know, and it can get to be you. And she was very active in all that and knew that you had to do that to promote your career. But that wasn't her favorite part, you know. Her favorite part was actually doing the acting. She loved the acting. And then in later years, in using her celebrity for the good, you know.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. There were so many parts of her life that were kept hidden. One of the aspects, which during the time that she was a star would have just been detrimental to both her as well as Clark Gable, because they were an item, and she ended up becoming pregnant by Clark Gable, and they both were very, very prominent in as far as exposure goes in media, and she had this beautiful little girl, Judy, that she just loved this child, but she had been encouraged by the studio. The studios at the time would really try to force any young women that were pregnant to have abortions.
Yeah, definitely.
You know, the world of Hollywood, as it was at that time, that's another aspect of what Joan brought out, was the environment that the actors and actresses had to be aware of. They were property. They had very little in the way of rights. But she managed this so that she gave birth to this child, and Clark Gable had no involvement with this child at all. And in fact, Judy learned about her real dad later on.
Yeah, but, when she was a lot older.
Mm-hmm. But tell us what happened with Loretta, because this is a time frame. Unwed mothers, nobody blinks an eye anymore. But at that time,
but at that time, her career would have been over. Mm-hmm. They did it. Well, this is before I was born, because Judy's my older sister by just a few years. I won't say how many, because she'd be mad at me if I said it. but Judy's a wonderful person, a great actress in her own right, and now a psychiatrist or a psychotherapist. But at the time, this was 1935, my mother was doing a movie with Clark Gable up in Oregon. And it was Call of the Wild, which is a famous Jack London movie, you know, book that were made into a movie. And they were, you know, on location for a long time, and it was snowing, and they had, Mom had a crush on, Mom said she fell in love with every one of her co-stars anyway, you know, so this was no news, but I don't think she got to the extent that she did with Clark Gable. But anyway, she mentioned in the book that it happened on the train back to, you know, Los Angeles, whatever. But yeah, they raised Judy in, secrecy, you know, because they couldn't get out. And the cover story was that Mom and my grandmother went to Europe on a vacation while Mom was pregnant with Judy. That was the cover story. So all the press, you know, do that. And then when they came back, Judy was raised by a nurse in a house that wasn't the same as Mom's. But by the time Judy was, I think, 2 years old or 1 year old, Mom, quote, unquote, adopted her. And then when my mother married my father, my father adopted her, and Judy took Dad's name. And then Judy and my brother Peter and myself were all raised, you know, as siblings.
Mm-hmm.
So that's how it happened. But it had to be, at the time, you had to be very careful, because it would have ruined both their careers. And so, you know, so they were. So, but it took a lot of anxiety, and, you know, and it affected my sister, of course, tremendously, you know, not knowing until she was in her 20s.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, until she got married, her husband told her, "Oh yeah, it's all." Her husband Joseph said, "Oh, it's the gossip all over." And so finally, Judy asked Mom, and Mom told her.
Yes, the stories we weave just to survive, and she survived.
Yeah.
She did, and Judy didn't want for anything. It was just.
Oh, no.
You know, it was something
none of us did.
Right, and that was very important, because, again, the world of attitude was just incredibly horrific at that time, and women really didn't have very many options. And if you were blacklisted, especially in the entertainment industry, which a lot of people were in later years, it's devastating. It's absolutely devastating. So she did what she had to do.
Right, and it wasn't just that. It was also politics. You know, at the time you could get blacklisted for politics as well. But Mom was very, very, you know, she was a nice person to meet, and everybody liked her.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember in later years when we would go out to restaurants together, I mean, people would stand up in the restaurant and the heads of the studios, I remember one time the head of Universal at the time, Lou Wasserman, we were in a restaurant, he'd come over and, you know, and I mean, because everybody loved my mother. She was just a big star, and she was wonderful to everybody. She, like, had the same agent for 50, 60 years, the William Morris Agency, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So she was a unique person and a big movie star.
Now, your mother, interestingly enough, had one habit, because she was so, so thin, but she, you know, on film, that always worked out beautifully for all of her clothes, but she just epitomized grace elegance, and she was so selective about the roles that she would choose.
Exactly.
And Daryl Zanuck, she had conflicts with him. Cecil B. DeMille.
I
mean, she just had all kinds of challenges, and fortunately she had a good agent that would go in between because of the patriarchal positioning that these people had.
Well, she was also, I think, Donna, I think she was also on the right side of the argument, so to speak, when she would do something. It was always for the betterment of the part or the movie or her part. And I remember one of the problems she had with Daryl Zanuck, many of them, but because she was under contract to 20th Century Fox, the studio that he headed, but they were doing a movie called Suez, and she played Princess Eugenie, who was a princess, and she was had to she wanted the beginning of the movie had a big scene in a ballroom with a lot of different women in hoop skirts and gentlemen and everything, and she wanted, because she was the princess and the star of the movie, she wanted to shine, so she went to the wardrobe. This is something that a star would never do, but she went to the wardrobe department and told them to make the hoop on her skirt just a little bit bigger than every other lady there, and then to make her the material that they used for her dress a little lighter color than all the other dresses there, so she would stand out, And that, of course, got, when the word got up to the head of the studio what she was doing, how dare you tell them what to do? That's the director's job, So they always had these little, but it was always for the betterment of the movie. It wasn't for her ego necessarily. It was to make the product better. And the same thing held true in her television series when, she did a television series and she and my father produced it. So they were their own bosses, so she could get away with more, so to speak. But she always did it to make the part better. And to improve the production.
Well, I'll tell you what, I have had the opportunity to see the movie Suez, and I'm so glad she said what she said. The gown that she wears is just shimmering with light.
Isn't it
with
beautiful?
A camera, and it's a black and white movie,
right? Uh-huh.
And if ever they brought it into color, I would just love to see what it looked like. But
it was a wonderful film.
Oh, it's an and it's with Tyrone Power. It's an oldie movie, but it's gorgeous.
Yeah.
But I know we're just about out of time, Christopher. First, I wanted to ask you, for people that love old movies, and I just think they're great, where can we go to see the old movies about Loretta Young? Because she really, the farmer's daughter, is all about politics. And when you think about what we're going through today, I'd say the farmer's daughter is a must-see. And she won the Academy Award for that. Where can the people go to find out about the movies, and what websites can they go to find out about what you and your wonderful company has done to keep...
Well, first of all, you can go to LorettaYoung.com.
Okay.
LorettaYoung.com. And very simple. And that's a tribute site and also a lifestyle site where you can find out about movies. You can also Google her movies on the internet and just Google Loretta Young or Loretta Young Films, and there are a lot of different ones for sale on the internet. You can go to YouTube and put in Loretta Young, and some of her clips from her movies will show up. And what was the other thing I was going to suggest? Oh, yes, and Turner Classic Movies, her birthday is on January the 6th.
Oh.
And on last January the 6th, a couple weeks ago, all day they played Loretta Young movies on Turner Classic Movies. So Turner Classic Movies has a lot of them, so those would be where I would suggest you would go. And just to start off on LorettaYoung.com, we have a little segment, part of the website that says films or clips, and you can see certain little clips from her different movies.
Well, for those of you listening, if you're romantic, if you want to see what a legend of Hollywood was and still is, quality, elegance, tremendous acting skills. Loretta Young is a woman that I have just the utmost admiration for because she lived a life of excellence on multiple levels. Very human, The book Forever Young, The Life, Loves, and Enduring Faith of a Hollywood Legend. We've had her son on today. Go to her website, LorettaYoung.com. You can Google information about movies, and go to YouTube, and then Turner Classic Movies also has it, and I can recommend Suez and The Farmer's Daughter. I love those movies. They are just absolutely great. Christopher, I want to thank you for being my guest today. It was wonderful having you. And
well, it was my pleasure, Donna.
Just keep up the good work putting your mom
and
out
you
there.
Too. And you too.
Thank
nice
you,
talking
sister.
To you.
It's been a pleasure. This is Donna Sebo. We're going to break. We're going to be back in just a moment. Again, Forever Young. If Hollywood is a passion, this is a must read. It is good. Donna Sebo here. We'll be back in just a moment.
Are you concerned about nutrition? Do you work hard to eat right, try to feed yourself and your family nutritious food? Well, you'll want to know about glyconutrients. What are they? These are sugars that are present in nature, however, we're not getting them in our food anymore. Scientific study is proving that these sugars are necessary for all cellular and immune system function. Over 20,000 studies are conducted each year on glycoforms alone. These are the sugar protein structure that line each and every cell of the body. 4 out of the last 8 Nobel Prizes in physiology have been awarded for research in the area of cellular communication and how these sugars work in the body. This is Donna Sebo. Every day I bring to you information that will empower and light up your life. I would like to invite you to visit my website, DelphiInternational.com, and find out more about these glyconutrients. That's DelphiInternational.com. Go to my website, go to the left side of the screen, tap on the button that says glyconutrients. MIT's Technology Review, February 2003, states that glycomics is one of the 10 emerging technologies that will change the world. Education is the key to advancement of understanding and making our lives better. Visit my site, DelphiInternational.com. Go to the left side of the screen and tap on the button that says glyconutrients. I know it'll make a difference for you, as it has for me.
Do you want to lose weight? Do you deal with diabetes, high blood pressure, osteoporosis, or chronic pain? Do you want to know one of Dr. Perricone's 7 secrets to beauty, health, and longevity? Do you have 15 minutes a day to look and feel better? Then let me introduce you to DTAP, the workout that works. For the beginner or expert exerciser, learn from physical training specialist Teresa Tapp how, in just 15 minutes a day, you can burn fat and sugar, build strong bones and muscles, and lose inches fast with no equipment or jumping. Visit the TTAP website, ttap.com, or call 1-800-342-0717 to learn how. That's TTAPP.com. We'll help you lose inches, look good, and feel fabulous at TTAP. 1-800-342-0717, ttap.com.
Hi, this is Donna. Telephone lines are now open. If you'd like to give me a buzz, 888-815-9756. That's 888-815-9756. And all I need, if you're a first-time listener, is your first name or your initial. And then after that, you are welcome to sit back, relax, let me tell you what I perceive, and then you can ask me a question about anything that you like. Also, I want to mention that if you have a special story regarding the paranormal, anything that has been a very unique experience for you, I'd love to have your story. I'm putting together a book. I'm wanting to acquire 100 stories of people around the country, maybe around the world, what they have experienced. So if you have a special story you'd like to share, send it to me via email and be sure to put it in the subject line, the Donna Sebo Show psychic story or something equivalent, so I'll know what this is relating to, because I get so many emails, it's nice when I have that information in the subject line so I can discern where to put it and what's in it. And then just send it to me via email, donna@delphiinternational.com, or you can send it to me via snail mail to the Donna Sebo Show at P.O. Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington 98497. Either way, I'd love to hear from you, and of course I need contact information so that we can have this for the publishers when it all comes together. So again, if you have a special story to tell, I would love to hear it from you and would enjoy having it included in the book, giving you full credits. Also, I needed to make a correction. The women's show, which is coming up in March, I had the wrong weekend. Don't you just love it when you're paying attention to got the right details? Well, I didn't get the right details. The weekend of the women's show in the Pacific Northwest, Seattle, Washington, is going to be March 5th, 6th, and 7th. On March 5th, which is a Friday, I will be presenting six powerful women, each of which are going to be presenting information the first hour, which is going to start at 1 o'clock in the afternoon at the show. We'll be featuring two speakers on money. The second hour will be on health and wellness, and the third hour is going to be on animals. So I've got six wonderfully dynamic women, and for those of you that will come out to the women's show, you'll be able to meet them all. It's going to be three power-packed hours, and I will be interviewing all six of these ladies, and you'll have a chance to interact with them, too. So if you want to find out more about the Pacific Northwest Women's Show, go to their website, northwestwomenshow.com, and you will find all of the information that you need. And, of course, there's going to be more things that I'll be talking about as we get closer to that. And my trip to Alaska is being delayed until the first part of April. So that is coming up also. And then there's some other things that are popping up out of the woodwork. So as I get closer to events and finding out what's really going on, I'll keep you informed as well. Meanwhile, telephone lines are open if you want to give me a call. 888-815-9756. Now, by the way, you might want to have a pen and a pad of paper handy. I have got a wonderful recipe for a Grand Marnier cheesecake. Now, for those of you that are interested in gluten-free recipes, this is one. And this is a recipe by Jewel Shepherd. So I wanted to share that with you today. So many of us are finding that our body systems need to be taken care of differently. And I can't tell you how many people I'm coming in contact with. They're giving up dairy. They've given up wheat. They are just very aware of sugar. Now, I've always heard about the sugar stuff as long as I can remember. However, dairy and wheat seem to be something that are coming more and more into the forefront. So we're going to be having some interesting conversations with people regarding diet and things like this in the upcoming shows. But this is something I thought I would share with you because some of you may have a wheat intolerance, and this is a recipe that's going to be quite good. Now, speaking of food, I just thought I would share a little bit of trivia with you because there's just so many fun facts that are out there in the world. Ah, Mighty Meatball, can you imagine someone fixing a pork and beef meatball that weighed 72 pounds, 9 ounces? Just putting that much meat together into one big meatball. Well, the guy that did it is Gary Travis. He's the owner of Meatball Mike's Restaurant in Cranston, Rhode Island. Just people will do some of the most fascinating things. And can you imagine what it took to put together a meatball of that weight? And I wonder how many people it took to make that thing work. And then to be able to store that meatball in a place where you could be probably in the Guinness Books of Record. Now, something that really made my hair curl a little bit when I read it, but it's true. This is just beyond me. There's a Texan rattlesnake rancher. His name is Bayou Bob Popplewell. He's been selling bottles of vodka containing dead baby rattlers as a healing tonic. He uses the cheapest vodka he can find as a preservative for the snakes and compares the end result to cough syrup. Ugh! I mean, this is what people do. Awful. I can't think of that. Well, how about French fries? Do you know an exclusive French potato can sell for $800 per kilo? There are only 100 tons of a particular La Bonnette variety that are cultivated each year, and do you know they're grown only on a particular island off of the west coast of France? The fields that these potatoes are grown in, only 100 tons a year, are fertilized with nothing but seaweed. Seaweed is one of the greatest things for fertilizing the earth because of all the nutrients it has in it. Amazing. They just bring it out of the ocean, lay it on the ground, break it up, and it's just as rich as it can be. So these potatoes are really nutrient rich. Just a little bit of food trivia there for you. I can remember years ago reading about a couple that lived, it's somewhere on the East Coast. I think it might have been either in Vermont or Rhode Island. I don't remember where right now at the moment. But they had been checked out by some people because they were told, some reporters were told, that these people had the most magnificent garden. And they go out, they talk to these people, and they found, and they sort of had a piece of property that was on a bluff near the ocean. And they did the very same thing as these people on the island near the area of France that I was just mentioning. They hauled seaweed up. They would go down to the beach below, and they would pull out as much seaweed as they could, and they put it in the soil. And they had lived in this place at the time, I think, when they were interviewed, for about 15 years, and the soil was so rich with nutrients that everything that they grew was phenomenally wonderful in flavor and nutrient rich, and everything was very, very healthy. And they just kept cultivating the land over and over again. It's amazing when you think about those people throughout the centuries that seemed to have an awareness of it, but so many more did not. And it doesn't take much to bring the earth back into a healthy balance if you know how to utilize the environment and how to bring healthy components into it so that it has a chance to maintain the balance that it needs. And I think we're getting a little bit wiser now. We're becoming more and more aware, but so many parts of the world just are having to learn the lesson all over again. When you look back at American history, we can't pat ourselves on the back too much about what we did in the past. But what is important is if we learn from the past and work with today, we're going to find ourselves in a much better environment, and we're going to be able to pass along a legacy to our children, our grandchildren, making this world a much better place to live in, which I think is a plus. Well, I know we're going to be going on break in just a couple of minutes. So before we do that, I wanted to share some things for you that are relating to natural cures. And you may have these right in your own backyard. Now, I know in the South, the white willow tree is just absolutely, in so many locales, it's absolutely gorgeous. But you can find the components of the white willow tree. Salicin is one of the components that is in the bark of the white willow tree, and it's almost identical to the elements that make up aspirin. In fact, willow bark was used to create a type of aspirin back in the 1800s. Now, even though it may take a little bit longer for its pain effect to come into place, it lasts a lot longer, and because it is more natural, it's loaded with natural antioxidants, which are very, very helpful, and it's less likely for you to have a stomach reaction. One study of more than 1,500 people with lower back pain found that willow bark worked just as well as prescription-backed medication, and you didn't have the risky side effects. So just a little tidbit there to share with you. This is Donna Sebo. Give me a buzz if you'd like to chat today, 888-815-9756, and We're going to take a break. We'll be back in just a moment, and we'll share a little bit of this with you and a little bit of that. Don't go away.
Enter the magical world of God's kiss.
Johnny finds himself at the entrance to a large open valley, framed by high mountains rich in the brown-red colors of the earth. He stands in awe, even a little fearful of the mountain's great size. After all, he's just a little boy and not very tall.
God's Kiss is a beautifully illustrated children's book about a young boy's journey into a valley with children and animals from all over the world. They are gathering together to experience the wonder of love and beauty that will affect their lives forever. A talking book audio narrated by the author Donna Sebo accompanies this wonderful storybook, creating a special magic all of its own. This book package makes a wonderful gift for those special children in your life ages 3 to 10. God's Kiss book and talking book audio are only $19.95 plus shipping and handling, and the author Donna Sebo will autograph and personalize your book if you request it. Call 800-872-8852. You can also order through Donna Sebo's website, www.delphiinternational.com. That 800 number again, 872-8852.
Donna Sebo publishes a popular, inspirational, and insightful newsletter filled with information about her upcoming guests, her travel schedule, seminar presentations, and upbeat articles to lighten up your life. You can subscribe to this free monthly newsletter by emailing her at donna@delphiinternational.com. That's donna@delphiinternational.com. You can also go to her website, www.delphiinternational.com, and review past publications. Keep in touch with Donna through this monthly publication. Again, her email address is donna@delphiinternational.com, and her website is www.delphiinternational.com.
Hi, this is Donna, 888-815-9756. We've got a caller on the line who's been waiting very patiently. Thank you for doing that. First name or initial, and where are you calling in from? Hello.
Can you hear?
Yes, now I can hear you. There you go.
Okay.
Can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Oh, wonderful. First name or initial, sir, and where are you calling
Michael.
From? Hi, Michael.
Michael in Carmel.
Ah, beautiful place, Carmel. Yes, Michael. Okay, first thing that I'm looking at with you right off the bat is that you're going to really have to keep to schedule. Whatever's going on with you, I just feel like I've got all kinds of, it's almost like feathers flowing around me, that floating around me, that are so distracting. Yet I must keep my focus. I cannot get off base. I have to have blinders on, and I'm seeing you sort of smacking the feathers out of your space, just saying, please go away. I cannot deal with this. But there is an attraction that is around you for all kinds of unique interactions with people. So being very discerning about how you spend your time, who you will spend your time with, etc., is vitally, vitally important. I'm watching you with a fascination because I feel like you have been pulling a very, very heavy load up like a 45-degree incline, and you pretty much have been pulling it on your own. That is the visual I'm getting. And when I'm looking at you, there is a part of you that's wondering if you should just let it all go, if you should just dump the load. My response is no. Now, I'll tell you the picture I'm getting. You've got this huge block. It looks like it could weigh tons. You've got a rope around the block, and it's going across your forehead. And you know how certain cultures, the women will put bands around their head, and they've got big baskets on their back, and that's how they balance and distribute the weight so they can carry their load. Well, that's what's happening with you, and what this is representing to me is that there is so much mental work here that you have put into this effort. And again, it's very discouraging because you're not seeing the results that you would anticipate, but you are doggedly doing one step at a time, and you really don't have much further to go. What you need to do is maintain the focus, keep the objective in front of your mind, And if you have to take tiny steps, you'll take tiny steps because you haven't got much further to go before you're going to reach the top of where you're needing to go. And then it's like it's easy coasting from there on. And there are some other people that will help pick up the slack with the load where you won't have to carry the load anymore. I don't know if that's making sense to you, but I am seeing you very much committed to a particular endeavor. And this is important for you to understand. Your time is not wasted. Just be consistent, persistent, determined, and you'll reach your objective. What's on your mind? What would you like to ask me today?
Well, it kind of hits home with a job, a new, you know, I've been out of work for quite a while, and I'm in a sea of resumes with everybody else.
Mm-hmm.
And so I get close. I'm in the top three or whatever, but I don't get hired. Something's coming my way this week, which looks promising. And so I've kind of been working on little inventions on my own that I thought, well, I might as well do something on my own then if they're not going to hire me.
Well,
and you're right. I've been pulling a load by myself and juggling a lot of balls.
Well, the thing is, don't lose the vision. That's how I will phrase it.
Okay.
You need to remember that there is a reason, and I'm not trying to glamorize this, but there is a reason that you're going through this kind of a discipline. Apparently, once you accomplish what you want to accomplish, then there's going to be other opportunities, and you're going to go through something else again that's going to require the consistency, the determination, and the follow-through. So this is part of a learning curve, if you will, that is going to demonstrate certain things, but it's going to fall into place. And keeping the faith, even if you just take an inch at a time, moving forward, you keep doing it.
Okay.
And you're going to come out okay. You're not that far away from achieving what your objective is. You just have to keep moving. And
okay.
I'm getting pull out all the stops. Don't feel that you should or should not talk to someone. If you meet somebody out of the blue, just shake their hand and say, hi, this is what I'm looking at. If you find you're interested in something like this, give me a call, hand them a piece of paper with information, and let it go. You don't know where your good is going to come from. Don't feel like you have to choreograph it. Let it go. Be prepared for opportunity, but then be about the business of doing whatever you have to do. But stay focused.
Okay.
All right.
That makes sense.
Thank you,
Michael. That helps a lot, Donna.
Oh, I'm so glad.
Thank you.
You're very welcome. This is Donna Siebel. Hey, maybe I'll be able to get this recipe, Grand Marnier cheesecake. Now, what you're going to need, and if this is gluten-free, you need 1.5 cups of graham-like cracker crumbs, and there is this, and you can use a gluten-free flour mix to make your graham cracker crumbs, or you can buy commercial gluten-free rice bran or ginger snap cookies. They do have them out there on the market. Gluten-free. Check your health food store. You're going to need 4 tablespoons of melted butter or margarine and 1/4 cup of sugar. If you want to use sugar substitute like stevia, great. Go ahead and do it. So, and then your cheesecake, you're going to need 1.5 pounds of cream cheese. It has to be at room temperature. 1/4 cup of heavy whipping cream. 4 eggs. 1 cup of sugar or the equivalent thereof like a stevia. 1 cup of chopped mandarin oranges with juice. 1 teaspoon of vanilla, 1/2 cup of chopped pecans, and 2 tablespoons of Grand Marnier. Now, your oven, very low temperature, only 300 degrees. Put that on, let it preheat. And then all your crust ingredients, you mix them together, and of course, press them in the bottom of your pie pan. Then you pop it in the refrigerator. And then in a large bowl, you're going to mix together your cream cheese and heavy whipping cream until they're smooth as silk. Then you add your eggs 1 at a time, and you want to be sure you mix it thoroughly between each time you add an egg. Add the sugar, and then finally, you'll fold in the oranges, the juice, the Grand Marnier, the vanilla, and the pecans. You fold that all in. And then you put your batter in the refrigerated prepared crust. You bake it for 1 hour or until it's firm to the touch. Good, good stuff. Wonderful flavor. Creme Meunier, good stuff. Really like it. Well, we're out of time. This is Donna Sebo. Remember always, you're the master of your fate. You are the captain of your small soul. Tomorrow we're talking about contact ease. Yes, Nick Redfern. Stories that are intriguing, fascinating, and you may or may not believe them, but hey, these people experienced individuals from other than Earth. Fascinating stuff. Donna Sebo here. Remember always again, you're the master of your fate. You are the captain of your soul. Your mind belongs to you, to no one else. Talk to you tomorrow, same time, same place. This is Donna. Bye for now.
You have been listening to The Donna Sebo Show. If you would like a copy of today's broadcast, send $10 to The Donna Sebo Show, P.O. Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497-0272. Be sure to put the date of the broadcast in your request. If you are not able to be a part of today's program, join Donna and her guests Monday through Friday, and she will be here to take your calls. Thank you for listening and being part of our program. Have a wonderful day.